them. And if you note the timing when he started doing that, it was immediately after that particular incident. That particular incident was a trigger point for whatever Judas wanted to do to Jesus. And when you cross-reference that story in all the various Gospels, let's also look at here's Gospel of Luke, I believe, would have some scriptures on that. Luke 10. Nope, it's not the right particular scripture. I think we'll stay with that one. And cross-reference them, and the timing for that, in some of the translation, it says, from that time forward, Judas sought to betray Jesus. Something triggered, something made him angry. Words were involved, yes. Emotions were involved. Something triggered him. And obviously, we have a chicken and egg effect here. Words are producing emotion. Emotion is creating more of the stings. And they're both being triggered. And our question is, as we're looking into the area of the mind, think about it. If you go into an environment which is nice, you take a holiday, you sit next to the beach, you take out your Bible, you hear Christian music playing, what kind of thoughts will flood through you? Probably pleasant thoughts. You created a whole environment for a whole realm of thoughts to flow. So the environment can cause it. And if you were depressed or down like David, and then you begin to sing songs to build your spirit up, and you realize that you begin to have the right thoughts. Isn't it true that this advice is applicable to all? When you're buying a house or buying a property or doing a lot of things with your money, you always try not to make a decision on the spot, lest your emotions get carried away. You're buying and selling shares, you cannot get emotionally attached. Because you get emotionally attached to one company, the company goes down, you still don't let it go, you think it's all good. Emotionally you're attached and your mind doesn't speak well. Your intellect doesn't function well. Or when you're buying a house or buying a car or buying something, you get emotionally attached to whatever you want to buy. You end up paying more because you're not prepared to let it go. And during the time you're emotionally attached, you will reason with yourselves to tell yourself 1,000 reasons why you should be spending more. So we realize that when you throw all those equations up, that is that we put it this way, we let you all figure out the chicken and the egg on this matter. But we all know that there is a relationship. Here's where we bring you more things for you to consider. There is a research done on a prayer by this Larry Dorsey. He's an MD. And he's the author of the book Healing Words. This is not a Christian book. It's just at least someone out there do research on the benefits of prayer and what effects. So remember, when you read this book, number one, they don't have a Christian-based philosophy. Number two, whatever they attribute, if they were positive results, they attribute to some universal consciousness, instead of giving the credit to Almighty God, who is a personal being. Number three, they don't have the same moral integrity or ethics of the Bible. So, qualifying those things, here are some of the interesting research that they have made on the effect of prayer and the mind of when people, why some people get well and some people don't get well. And I know some of you are intelligent enough to ask the questions that when a person is prayed for and they get well, could it be a placebo effect? In other words, they knew someone was praying for them, so there's an auto-suggestion effect. But in this experiment, some of the people don't know they are being prayed for. So it's a mixed group. So it was unknown. So the placebo effect is taken off in this research. He's one of the few people who actually did a scientific research on the effect of prayer and faith on a person's ability to get healed. And it says, here's a group of experiment done by the Spindrift organization in Salem, Oregon, has for a decade performed simple laboratory experiments showing that prayer works. And after proving that prayer is effective, they proceeded to investigate what type of prayer strategy works best, whether it is a directed prayer or a non-directed prayer that would work. So they may be praying for the cancer to be cured, the heart attack to resolve itself, the pain to go away. That's a direct prayer. A non-directed prayer is an open-ended approach in which no specific outcome is held. A person is just upheld in prayer. Not necessarily praying to get well, but just upholding in prayer. Which prayer technique works? Right, this is some of their conclusion. This may surprise people who favor the techniques of directed imagery and visualization, which are quite popular today. Now remember, today even sometimes in some medical schools, they're playing with the mind over matter. They have the patients who are dying, they got nothing else to do, to visualize their cells killing the cancer cells. You heard of all these things? Those are called directed methods that they use. Now, in their research, they found that Spindrift devised an experiment to put directed and non-directed prayer to the test. The study involved growing a mole on the surface of the kind of rice agar plate bacteriologists and mycologists routinely use. So this is not a person, and obviously you can't auto-suggest and hypnotize a microbe. If it's a human being, you could say, well, you know, you sort of auto-suggest to them to be well, and then they got well. So this is microbes here. It's a 100% true experiment. And the mole was stressed by washing it in an alcohol rinse so as to damage it and retard its growth, but not enough to kill it. A string was then placed across the mole, marking it into sites A, the control site, and B, the treated or prayed for site. When directed prayer was used to encourage the growth of site B, nothing happened. That means they are directing their, I don't know who did the prayer, don't ask me. And they're directing the site B, grow, grow, be healed, grow, grow, grow. Right. Poor mole. Directed prayer was happened, nothing happened. Growth remained static. But when directed prayer was replaced by non-directed prayer, in which no goal was set in mind of the healer, site B began to multiply. Now, here's an interesting thing. Remember, when we go into this series, some of you may be trying to govern and change your life by self-consciously changing yourself. Here's where we try to bring it forth. Emotions are deeper than thoughts. Thoughts can trigger them, but the soul is more than your brain, your mind, your thoughts. Even at rest, your soul has some feelings. And we cannot change our life just by using our consciousness. Something deeper is at work. Now, we will conclude with the Bible thing. Remember that we are still in the process of illustrating. But there's something about how to have our mind renewed, as remember earlier, cause and effect. If thoughts cause emotions, okay, then changing the thoughts will change the emotions, correct? Then tell me, why are we not curing all the depressed and psychosomatic people who have all the wrong thoughts and wrong emotions today? Why can't we cure an angry man with a good thought? Why are we not curing people with abusive, destructive, violent anger? Why not just give them, think happy thoughts, think happy thoughts. Peter Pan style. Now, my name is Peter Tan, not Peter Pan. But think happy thoughts, and cure them. Why are we not curing the people in the mental asylums that are depressed beyond psychologist's help? Come to them and say, think happy thoughts, think happy thoughts. That's what they try to do. Or some of them are in a happy farm, right? Okay, so, talking about the wrong realm of happiness. Right, but a lot of people are having emotional problems. Correct. If thoughts produce emotion, why not just give them thoughts? Or lots of, or do you say, well, it has to be administered. Fine, strap them to a chair. Blindfold them or put something in front of them with all the right words and then pump it into their ears. Blast all the words into them, cure them. Obviously, something deeper than that. See, the realm of the soul and emotions is beyond the thought realm. We see its effect, side effect. So we realize that what we think, what we have thoughts, is only a small portion of who we are. There's a whole realm inside that we don't understand. That's the point that we're trying to get to, that there's a deeper consciousness that is deep in us, that is could be your emotional setting. For example, try to reason with a Palestinian who's been brought up with 3 decades of hatred for Israel. Is that an emotional state of being, or is that just an intellectual state of being? Just show them how reasonable people would solve problems. You want this land, let's divide it this way. You have your portion, they have their portion. Let's live happily ever after. It's not solving problems. And sometimes, isn't it true that some of the things that cause marriages to quarrel, think about the big fights people have, they quarrel. It's about a small, insignificant, illogical thing. If we are so smart, and our emotions are caused by our thoughts, why the illogical quarrels? Why the irrational quarrels? Something deeper than that. It's affecting all our conscious mind, our intellect, our thinking process. And so in this research that they're doing in indirect and direct prayer, which is strange, here's a concept that begin to understand what it is in, under the section called prayer and the unconscious mind. I would use the word subconscious though. Subconscious mind. And here it says, in the section, page 64, it says, attempting to use only the consciously aware part of the mind is like trying to shoot an arrow by pushing it forward from the bowstring, which you can't. If you don't draw the bowstring and you try to shoot the arrow, it just falls down. Attempting to use your conscious mind to change yourself to effectively just pray is not enough. It says, it's just like shooting an arrow from the bowstring. Everyone knows it's best to pull the string back and let the power of the bow do the work. In many situations, one has to let go in the realization that there are simply are some things one cannot make happen. Relying on the hidden unseen power of our unconscious mind is like that. And then it talks about some illustrations of people who've been through different things, and then they found out that suddenly they have an ability that they never had before. And sometimes people go through different types of problems, and they come up better people because there are things working far deeper than the conscious. And It says, how does a person use their subconscious mind, unconscious mind? Well, first is to acknowledge that the inner, unseen, unconscious part of being comprises most of the human psyche, which is true.